You're listening to Wheelationships.
You ever have obstacles? They did. What's your preferred future? What is your preferred future? What dreams, goals, aspirations, plans, ambitions that have God placed in your heart, but you're stuck? It might be a relationship, it might be a job, it might be a ministry, it might be a hobby, it might be losing weight, it might be any of that. Personal goal, something you want to learn how to do. And if there is nothing that you can think of that you have a desire or a dream that hasn't been fulfilled yet, you don't have anything on your to-do list, why not? Scripture says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It may not be like a big dream. It may be a small thing. You might not be the next Einstein, but you might be the next Einstein's enabler. And so God has prepared stuff in advance for us to do. And there will always be obstacles, and there will always be reasons and excuses that get in the way of us reaching the place that God has prepared in advance for us. And so what we've been exploring in this series is, it may not be your fault that you're stuck, but it is your responsibility. And I have the ability to respond to the things that get us stuck. Last week we learned that I can connect to people and resources that God has placed in my life to enable us to get going towards the goal. This morning, as the title says, we're looking at what successful people do. People who are doing the good works that God planned in advance for them to do, do these three things. And the first one is this: I can learn to be a guardian. Learn to be a guardian. We talked last week about having other people in your life that guard your life and guard your dream, but you need to be a guardian. God's really clear about this. Proverbs: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now notice the connection between those two verses. God gives us purposes and plans and dreams and goals and ambitions, and he places them in our heart. And then we're to guard that because everything that we're going to do flows out of that. So the question is, and the reason I have this board, because I like to write. I tried it on my iPad last week and it didn't work so well. So you got your heart. And God's not so much interested in your cardiovascular health. He is interested in that, but this is your metaphorical heart. What has been placed in your heart? That's the point where you join in. His spirit is in our heart, okay? What else? What is specific to us that is in your heart?
Love
is in our heart. Yeah. I'm going to put love out here, though, because love is an action. It is part of that. What else?
Passions.
I like passions. Passions. God has placed passion. He's placed desire for your dream. He's placed certain things that motivate you, certain things that keep you up at night, thinking about what you're going to do and what you're going to, you know, guard these passions, because this is like fire. Guard these from wet blankets. You know, wet blankets that just going to, you get all passionate about it and they're going to like, nah. Guard your passion. You said, I heard.
Ambition,
okay. Ambition, or something I've said a couple times, dreams. God puts these, gives these to you, your ambition, your dream, your goal, your what you're thinking about, puts them in your heart. And other people will try to block you, either intentionally or unintentionally. Some people just get in the way, they don't know it. Circumstances get in your way. Like all those things that all those people, okay, all blocking their dream, all blocking the ambition that God has placed in their heart. And you have to guard that. You'll have to, because what you have in your heart, these dreams and ambitions, are what God has placed in there to advance His kingdom. You have within you what is there to advance the kingdom of God. And it doesn't have to be ministry things. We're not just talking like preaching or teaching or ushering or churchy things, okay? It could be your work, could be your hobby, it could be things that are helping advance, and He's put it within you. It's specific to you, your dream. And as I said, not just big grand things, it could be really small things. You think, well, I don't have a big dream, okay? But you have ambition for what God has placed in you for like next week. Plans that are just for you. What else? How about values? See, we all have core values that we live by. Core values of honesty and hard work and stewardship and godliness and all of those things. He places values in your heart, and you're going to have to guard those values. Feelings? Anybody have any feelings in their heart? Yeah, you do. Feelings. Now, I'm not saying whether these are right or wrong. See, a lot of times people want to go right to, well, you shouldn't have those feelings. Okay, but let's first address the fact that they are my feelings. These are my feelings. And people will try to replace your feelings with their feelings. And you have to guard it and own it and say, well, this is my feeling. Now we can talk about whether that should be right or wrong. But first of all, these are mine. This is what I feel about it. Along with that, there's opinions. Okay? You have your opinions. They are your opinions. They belong to you. Other people have their opinions. Again, right or wrong is something that comes afterwards. First, you guard your heart, okay, against people that say, you know, well, you shouldn't, okay? First of all, these are mine. This is what I have. And so the question is, what are you not guarding? What am I not guarding? And this all goes back to something we talked about years ago in this class, boundaries. What belongs to you? And what does not belong to you? Because we've been talking about responsibility, the ability to respond. You're responding to what your responsibility is to guard your heart. And so there comes this principle where successful people know and respect their boundaries. This is my heart, and I will guard this. Again, for opinion, it doesn't mean you hold tightly to your opinion, you don't change it, but you understand that that's your opinion. We need to know what it is because it's part of our heart. So this principle allows successful people to do one very critical thing, and it goes again up with all three of the things we're going to talk about today. The first one being the one we're talking about right now. We're going to talk about two other things that successful people do, but in all three of those things, they do one very important thing. And they say, I can learn to say no. Because your boundaries are all about learning when to say no. If I'm to guard my heart well, I will have to say no. I will have to say no to people who want to replace my passion with their passion, who want to replace my feelings with their feelings, who want to replace my values with their values, who want to replace my dreams with their dream. They may not intend to. They may not know they're doing it. Many times it's well-intentioned, good-hearted people that don't realize that they're crossing your boundary. And you have to say, whoa, no. The second thing, so this goes with all things. I must learn to say no in order to guard my heart. The second thing successful people do is that they get into the zone. They get into the zone. You know what it means to get in the zone? You heard that phrase? Athletes use it. Athletes use it a lot. You know, they're like basketball players, they're shooting, and then suddenly they're in the zone, and just like everything's falling in, everything's going. The zone is when it's all about a level of mental focus and engagement where you're locked in on your objective, you're locked in on the passion and the dream that you have, and you are going there, and suddenly everything else goes away, and the only thing you have in front of you is your dream, your goal, what God has placed in your heart ahead of time to do. And this is something that it's possible with almost any task. We talk about it with athletes, but it's possible in almost any task. When your passion and your attention are focused and you're energized on your preferred destination and your preferred future of where you're going, and suddenly everything else has gone away. So there's really only one way that I know of to get into the zone. It's when you take energy and time. It takes energy and it takes time. Because this doesn't just happen walking out of the gate. And then when you have energy and you have time and you give it time and you give more energy, you get this focus. And that focus gets you into the zone. It's when I bring that energy and I couple it with time and I get into focus, and then there's in the zone. It's like a laser. When you give enough energy and time and focus to a laser, it just cuts through. It's like one of those moving sidewalks. Been on a moving sidewalk? You're walking along and then you get on a moving sidewalk and you don't have to do much energy at all. You're just floating. You're just going. That's the zone. And if to get to the place, successful people realize they have to get in the zone. They can't just wing it. Can't just, you know, well, it's going to happen. But if it happens, it happens. No, they bring energy and they bring time and they bring focus to it. And then when they're in the zone, things start clicking. And if getting in the zone is what it takes, then what stands in the way? Well, it's obstacles. Obstacles that take away your energy or take away your time or take away your focus. So the first obstacle that there is a low battery on my iPad. Okay, the first obstacle that there is distractors. Distractors. Things that distract and divide your focus. You are not a multitasker. Multitasking is a myth. You are not, cannot, does not happen. Some things can do really quickly, and it looks like multitasking, but it's not. And things divide your focus. It keeps you out of the zone. You carry around one of the biggest distractors in your pocket or purse all the time. I don't even have to say what it is. You know. Hello. Text. Okay. If you got your phone out right now and you're not using it for your Bible app, put it away, please. Okay. Because you're distracting yourself from getting in the zone this morning. All right. Distractions don't have to be evil or wrong to be distractions. Many times we have good, legitimate reasons. I'm getting distracted right now from that we allow all this input into our lives. I mean, other people getting distracted sometimes distract you. But how much of what you're spending your time on is pushing you towards your goal and your dream, or it's taking it away? Texting and Facebook and Instagram and hobbies and TV and just goofing off and over-organizing and voicemail and all this stuff that we just get distracted on. And it's taken away from your goal. It's taken away from your dream. I can say no. And the problem with saying no to distractors is it doesn't feel good. I mean, you might have grown up in a house where saying no meant you were disobedient or you were bad and you got punished for saying no. it was seen as being rude, or it was seen as being, you know, that. And maybe that was the only time you said no. Or saying no was something you did in a passive-aggressive way. But you got to say no. I mean, having a phone in our pocket has only served to kind of reinforce the belief that we're obliged to respond when people text us or call us, like right now. Well, I called you, you didn't call me back. You know, I texted you and I had to wait like an hour before you said anything. Okay. You owe people only what you have promised to owe them. You do not owe them what they expect you to owe them. Got it? My voicemail says, if you call me and you don't leave a voicemail, I will not call you back. Because I owe you what I tell you I will owe you. Because I own my time. God has given me the responsibility. So there are many things that are not worth our time and our attention. However, there's one specific category that is a real distractor, and it's worthy but untimely. Okay, there are things that would be worthy of our time and attention and energy, but they're just at the wrong time. They're just not now. And this is really common. If you get into the zone, things start clicking, you start succeeding. Suddenly, success draws people and things. And suddenly, there's other opportunities that you never had because you're suddenly succeeding because you're in the zone. And these other opportunities come, and before you know it, you start opening yourself up to those opportunities, and the main thing is no longer the main thing, it's the side thing. And you have to go back and say, okay, what's the main thing here? What has God placed in for me to do? And these side things are worthy, but they're not the right time. And I got to say no. Because, you know, we have this fear of missing out, and we're afraid that if we let these good things go by and we don't grab them and just try to shovel them in, that they're going to go away and we're never going to get them again, and we're going to lose out and miss out. In the meantime, we're missing out on the main thing that we're supposed to be doing. It could be, you could be in the zone with your kids and suddenly all these other great things, and you got to say, it's like the story of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah, he's up on the wall, and they come along and they say, come down, Nehemiah. He goes, no. I am doing a good thing and I cannot come down. So beware of the distractors. Also beware of the drainers. Drainers can actually do all three. They can drain energy, they can distract you from your focus, and they take valuable time away. And these are toxic people who are poison to what God intends for your life. Don't take this to extremes, okay? There are always people that we need to help. I mean, that's what we're built to do, is to help one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up. We all need people to help us in our weaknesses. We all have friends who may be in a bad place, and we can use our time and energy to help them. That may actually be what God has put for you to do. Prepared in advance for you to do is to help them and be that. But toxic people won't ever let you get in the zone because they always demand more from you. For instance, there are envious people. When things go well, they like to take shots because it's not happening for them. I mean, they might do it with a laugh. Yeah, okay, great for you. Well, I'm just trying to keep you grounded. No, they're envious. They're dream destroyers, okay? You need to keep them quarantined. Keep them away from your dream. You're the only guardian your dream has. There's negative people, okay? Understand, we all need negative feedback. We all need people that will be honest with us and say, hey, that's not really working. And it may hurt our feelings, but we need it. But there's a difference between having that kind of person and having the person who is just negative. They are negative. They are not on your dream team. They're on your nightmare team. You know, I just can't see that working out. Okay, you can try it, but you're going to fail. Okay. Sometimes we're the negative person for other people and we don't realize it. Okay, if that's you, stop it. Okay, controlling people. These are the people who really want you to fulfill a dream, their dream. They're okay with the relationship as long as it's about them and, you know, it's working out for them. If you really want to know the character and whether a person is controlling, tell them no. And how they respond to that's going to tell you a whole lot. They may not understand it. And so a normal person who is not controlling may not understand it. They may want some explanation or why you're saying no and I don't get it. But they'll try to understand. They'll try to be okay with it. A controlling person is not going to be okay with no. They along with controllers that are manipulators. Okay. And they'll use false guilt. They'll use passive-aggressive means to try to control you and manipulate you into saying yes instead of saying no. Well, Jesus wouldn't act like that. Okay. Anything. Again, these aren't usually evil people. They're just, a lot of times they have good intentions. And because of that, we feel bad saying no to them. Because we have that little judge sitting in our head that says, oh, you're being mean. You can't say no to them. They've been your friend forever. Oh, you can't say no to them. You'll hurt their feelings. That little judge is up there saying, they should hate you because you're an awful person. And we listen to that little judge up there. That's not God, okay? That's just us being all judgy on ourselves, okay? I'm being a responsible person. I must say no. Just like Nehemiah, I'm up here, I'm doing a good work, I cannot come down. Then there are the dependent people. Okay, not simple dependence. This is unhealthy, toxic dependence. We're all called to help the needy. There's scripture about that. Helping the needy and those in distress. We need to provide support, time, encouragement, all of that. Safety, stability, we have to give to other people. But sometimes people go from needing support to needing total life support. They're like, need you for everything. And they don't get better. They just continue to drain. One way to know is if you're dealing with somebody that's dependent or unhealthily dependent, is if see what they do with the advice you give them. Hey, I had an idea. Why have you read this? Have you tried this? Have you seen a doctor about that? And if they won't do it, well, then it's probably unhealthy. They're just trying to suck you dry, okay? If they follow the advice, then hey, if it didn't work, okay. But at least you try. You're trying to get better. Are they trying to get better? Or are they just not really interested in getting better? That's what Jesus did with this lame man at the Pool of Bethesda. One who was there who had been invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now, independent people say, yes, I want to get better. Please, anything. People who have learned to be dependent say, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. Okay? Now, this guy had learned it 38 years. He had learned to be dependent. I got reasons. I got a million. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And Jesus gives him the test. Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. Because the man had simply grown dependent, but he wasn't unhealthily, toxically so. He tried it. He got up. The toxic person stays there. How can you tell me to get up? You're so mean. You don't understand me at all. And they just whine about it. You might need to go from being the cure to being the conduit. Get them to someone who can help, because I can't cure you, but I can point you to others who can help, other resources and sources. If your friend is hemorrhaging, it may not be your job to be the surgeon. It may be your job to be the ambulance to get them to the surgeon. If it's truly a crisis, then I'll guarantee you, you are not enough. If it's a crisis, you are not enough. You may be a starting point, but you are not enough. A crisis means other people have to be involved in helping. You can't be the only system, which leads us to our fourth obstacle, my own codependency. Now, you may have heard that word a lot, but you really don't know what codependency is. Codependency is a tendency to take too much responsibility for the problems of others. We tend to rescue and enable others from the consequences of their bad behavior or their bad decisions. We get between them and reality. We can say it really stronger. We get between them and God. See, we have this false thing where we think that we tend to think of consequences as God's judgment. They are not. Look at what John says. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. So God's not sitting up there with a big hammer waiting for us to mess up so he can nail us and judge us. That's not the way it works. Judgment is about believing in Jesus and accepting his son, and happen or not. But consequences are simply us meeting reality. It's the way life works. You do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. And when we're codependent, we can't. That feels bad to us. We don't want that to happen. So we step in the way of the consequences. We go to the teacher and say, how could you do that to my little boy? He's the sweetest little thing ever. I don't care that he pulled a knife on you. He's a nice kid. Oh, you know, we do stupid things. I don't. But some of us think that we're omnipotent and that we can solve everybody's problems. Maybe not everybody, but the people I really care about, I can solve all their problems. I'm gonna fix everything. And we don't like God's reality, so we make some of our own. Or sometimes we have unaddressed pain in our life that doesn't feel good to us. And so we don't address it. We just try to address the pain in other people's life, make them feel better. And hopefully that'll make us feel better if we make them feel better. Whereas distractions and drainers are outside of you. Your own codependency is inside of you. And you have to live according to this verse, Galatians 6. We are each responsible for our own conduct. So, what's distracting you? What's draining you? Or from whom are you stealing responsibility? You're not letting others use their ability to respond because you're stepping in the way and trying to respond on your own. You're stealing responsibility. Finally, successful people. Third thing. This is quick. They refuse to settle. They refuse to settle. This is closely related to what Trudy talked about 2 weeks ago when we have to, I can stretch and I can risk. Dr. Townsend says that most people who settle are aggressively conflicted. It's a good phrase. Aggressively conflicted means they really want to, but they're scared. They're afraid. And so they settle. It's like having a 400 horsepower engine stuck in idle, stuck in neutral. A lot of power there. We really want to go, but we're afraid if we hit the gas, if we put it in gear, something bad's going to happen. That it's just not going to work out, all these things. And so we just sit there idling. I'm afraid of the speed and the power. So what happens? I settle. And we become passive. I like more and better. I like to do this. I'd like to go towards the dream, but all these things, I don't know. I'm afraid to try. Passivity is not healthy. And passivity is almost the exact opposite of contentment. Being passive is not being content. Being passive is almost the opposite. Contentment is based on grace. And it's based on the grace already given and the grace we know is to come. Contentment knows that in all situations, I'm good. So I can be a... Contentment is wildly aggressive. Passivity doesn't see the grace given and doesn't think there's grace to come and is wildly fearful and is stuck. And so the question is, this is your one and only life. What are you going to do with it? Two more questions. Think about. Dr. Townsend calls this first one the misery question. What opportunities have I lost because I didn't say no? Because I let the distractions come in, I let the drainers come in, I didn't guard my heart. What did I miss out on? What misery am I experiencing because I haven't said no? And the second one is, which principle will help the most if I implement it? Which principle will help the most if I... Do you need to guard your heart a little bit better? Is there somebody, something, you need to say no? Build a better boundary? Something you need to quit settling on? Let the Holy Spirit talk to you about this one. I'm going to put up a quote, and I'll, if you want to copy it down, you can do so after we pray, because we're out of time. But this is the quote here. Any occurrence requiring undivided attention will be accompanied by a compelling distraction. So if you got distractions, good news. It means that there is something that needs your undivided attention. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have prepared things in advance for us to do. You have prepared our life for us. Until the very, very, very end, Lord, you have something for us each and every day. There's eventual goals, but there's daily goals today that you've called us to do today. So, Lord, I ask that you would help us as we take our response and we use that ability to respond to you and your calling and your plans for us and your vision for us, Lord, that we wouldn't settle, that we wouldn't shrink back. But Lord, as Paul said, that we would press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you and love you in your name. Amen. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.